the desire that He places in our hearts. You know, before we are saved, we kick against the commands of God. We don't like the commands of God, even to tell people you need to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. People don't like that, especially in our culture. Why should I submit to anyone? But when we're transformed, when we're born again, we desire to submit to His perfect will for our lives. It's a delight. It's a delight to serve Him. Do you know the delight of serving the Lord? The passion and the joy that comes from serving the Lord. Verse 4, I want to focus on this just a little bit today. Verse 4 says, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Our faith. You know, the passage begins and ends with that similar statement, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ. But verse 4 says that our victory comes through faith. So we have those two words, belief and faith. What's the difference? What's the difference between belief and faith? And you know, that's a hotly contested subject. In fact, many people have written about it, many people have studied it and discussed it. What is the difference between belief and faith? And on the one hand, in the original Greek language, we did a little deep dive into this yesterday. The word in the root word for belief and faith in the Greek is exactly the same. So it's exactly the same word. And this is one of those few times where our modern understanding, our modern English language, is a little more descriptive than the Greek. Don't tell my Greek professor that. Because Greek is a beautiful language that really describes things deeply that English cannot do. But this time, the difference between faith and belief is really significant. In the English language, faith has a deeper meaning. It literally means to have a deep trust in. Now, belief is something that we can have an intellectual acceptance of. So, for example, if I said to you, "Do you believe in Abraham Lincoln?" And most of you say, "Yes, I believe Abraham Lincoln existed and that he was a real person. And I believe it because the textbooks tell me and I've seen the statues and I know the person. And I have that intellectual belief that he exists." But if I say to you, "Do you put your faith in Abraham Lincoln?" You'll say, "No, because he's dead. Why would I put my faith in him? Because he's dead. I believe that he existed, but I don't put my faith in him." There's a difference between the two. For example, if I looked at a rope swing hanging over the Blue River down the road, and I looked at it and I kind of weighed it up and I said, "It's probably been there a while, but I believe that it could hold me." And I can stand and believe all day long that that rope swing is going to hold me, but until I climb on it and swing out over the river, do I have faith that it'll actually hold me? And so faith is the difference. The same way today, many people have an intellectual belief in Jesus. They have a belief in even the truth of God's word. They believe that this to be true. They believe in all of the teachings of the word of God, the gospel message. But they haven't placed their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. They've never fully put their faith in a Savior. You see, true faith changes our behavior. True faith will change the way we behave. It stems from being born again. Faith is how we live out our belief. Faith is how we live out, we practice what we believe. James 2:19 puts it this way, "You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder." Do you realize that Satan and his demons believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Satan and his demons believe that Jesus rose from the dead because they know, they've seen it, but they don't trust him as we can and do trust him as our Lord and Savior. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our victory over the world is as a result of faith. It's as a result of our faith in Jesus Christ. And as we grow in our love for the Lord, we trust Him more, we trust Him more. Our faith grows as He gives us faith to trust Him more. And we're able to overcome struggles, temptations, addictions, and the challenges of the world. You know, we have faith in God because we know that He loves us. We know God loves us. It's beautiful to be able to sing that and say, He loves me. That's such a revelation. I think people don't fully grasp. We all have to come to that point in our lives where we know without a shadow of a doubt that God loves you. He loves me individually. And out of that, our faith grows. You know, we're told there's a story of a soldier in Alexander the Great's army at one time. And he wasn't acting bravely. The war was raging on the front lines, and this soldier was slowly retreating. And as he was retreating, Alexander the Great caught him and said, "What do you think you're doing? What's your name?" And the man said, "My name's Alexander." And he said, "Well, either change your name or go to the front and fight." And we, as followers of Jesus, we take on a new name. We take on a victorious name. We take on the name of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we don't have to retreat because the victory's already been won. Are we living out the name that we carry in faith? Are we living the name that has been given to us as followers of Jesus? You know, John uses the phrase "overcome the world" three times in this passage. And he used it first in 1 John chapter 2, where he was talking about overcoming the devil. We looked at it a few months ago. But when we read that we're called to be overcomers, the challenge is, the temptation is to look at it and say, well, okay, so I have to be a super Christian, right? I've got to be an overcomer. That's just for the elite Christians, those that have got it all together. No, he's referring to every true follower of Jesus Christ. Every believer should be, can be, an overcomer. Everyone who's born again. So what do we overcome? We overcome the attacks of Satan and his demons. We overcome the fear of man. We overcome the temptations that beset us. We overcome the addictions that we hold on to. We're able to overcome because of who Jesus is in us. We overcome is not because of our own strength, because of our own willpower, because we're able to muster up enough strength in ourselves. But we're overcomers because of the completed work of Jesus Christ. Because what Jesus did on the cross, we are overcomers who place our faith and trust in Him. You know, John Piper says, faith sees that Jesus is better. That is why faith conquers the world. Amen. The world held us in bondage by the power of its desires, but now our eyes have been opened by the new birth to see the superior desirability of Jesus. Jesus is better than the desires of the flesh, amen, and better than the desires of the eyes, and better than the riches that strangle us with greed and pride. We can be overcomers. Verse 5 continues, who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Again, this is that bookend of the gospel of who Jesus is in verse 1 and verse 5. We're able to be overcomers because of our position in Christ. Because of our position. I think a lot of people struggle and don't fully grasp this. Our position in Christ, and the key is that word, in Christ. Ephesians 2, verse 4 to 6, this is where Christ is. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in heavenly places. And we read through that and we think, oh, that's an interesting verse. That's our position. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places. That should transform our thinking to be overcomers. The victory that we can experience in life is as a result of our position. Not because we can muster up any strength in ourselves, but it's our position in faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Ephesians 1 says, Jesus is seated in the heavenly places far above all rulers and principalities. Jesus is far above all else. And we are positioned with Him. Therefore, anything coming against us, as Christ's ambassadors, we already have victory in Christ Jesus over these things. You know, our position determines a lot. Our position affects a lot. For example, if you were a general manager in a factory, and you go into the factory floor and you walk around, you have a certain amount of authority because you're a general manager. If, for example, you were the vice president of the company and you walked around, you had a little bit more authority. But if you were the president of the company, you could walk anywhere in the building and you had authority anywhere. It didn't matter what you felt like. It didn't matter what you looked like. You were the president and you had the authority in that place. People would recognize your authority. And it's the same with us as followers of Jesus. We have authority because of the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter what we feel like. And that's so key. Faith has got nothing to do with our feelings at the time. Do we understand the authority that we have in Jesus Christ to be overcomers? That's our position in Christ. Doesn't matter how we feel. And that's why only those who have faith experience victory.
Amen.
Being overcomers. Just to paraphrase what John wrote, you know, you Christians, you walk around, you don't have to walk around defeated because Jesus Christ has made us victors already.
All
right. He's defeated every enemy. And we get to share in that victory by faith. We get to claim His victory as our victory. The key, of course, is faith. It has to be about faith. It's always about faith in Jesus Christ. You know, the great men and women of Hebrews chapter 11, that hall of faith, they took God's word and acted on it. That is faith. It's believing, but then putting it into action. It's acting on what we believe. It's not simply saying that what God says true is true. It's acting on what God says. Clarence Jordan said, faith is not so much believing in spite of evidence, but obeying in spite of consequence. Faith is not so much believing in spite of evidence, but obeying in spite of consequence. You know, victorious faith is the result of maturing love. It's because of His love for us. And when we begin to know that love, we can have a building up of our faith. We come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We trust Him. And trust Him further as we grow more in our relationship with Him. It's important that maturing love becomes a regular and practical thing in our lives, are trusting Him daily in faith. You know, we have this concept that faith is something that we have at the time of salvation. We say, I made a profession of faith, and now I'm saved. But no, this faith, this believing is ongoing, perpetual, growing. It's growing in us. It's daily faith to walk out what we have. It's a continuous action, and it flows out of relationship with our Savior. Faith becomes our birthright. Faith that overcomes is our birthright in Jesus Christ. So how's your faith today? How's your faith today? What area of your life are you struggling with right now? That you're saying, that mountain just seems too high. What lie of the enemy have you allowed yourself to believe that's holding you back? You know, today we're going to celebrate communion. And communion is a celebration of the gospel message. It's a declaration of the gospel. The bread represents the body of Jesus that was broken for us, and the cup represents the blood of Jesus shed for the forgiveness of our sins. It is a beautiful declaration. It is a foundation. It's an ordinance that Jesus gave us himself. So as we prepare our hearts to partake of these elements, I want to spend a few moments just in silent prayer. I want to invite you to pause and allow the Holy Spirit to convict you, to challenge you. What area of your life, what mountain right now you're struggling with that you're saying, I don't know if I have the faith to overcome that? What area is Satan tempting you? What area are you struggling with in self-doubt? That God is saying, no, my word is greater, and have faith in that. So bring that to the Lord in this moment. Bring that to the Lord, repent of it, and allow God to transform you. Let's walk in freedom. Let's pray together. Just in a moment, bring that to the Lord just before him. Lord, we thank you for the power of your word. Thank you, Lord, that the victory has already been won. The victory over addictions. The victory over fear. The victory over sickness. The victory over the fear of man. So much more, Lord. We thank you that we can live as overcomers through faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that our victory is not in our own strength, but it's in our position in Christ. Lord, we thank you for these elements. We thank you, Lord, for your body that was broken for us. We thank you, Jesus, for the cup that reminds us of your blood that was shed for the forgiveness of sins. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that your blood still washes away our sins today. As we partake of this meal now, Lord, we pray that you would bless us individually and corporately as your body. In Jesus' name. Amen. If the deacons would come forward and